Believe me, if I could get any kind of impression out of God this morning not to preach, I wouldn't preach. He don't have to tell me twice. But I got an impression to preach. And you're going to understand why. I didn't change sermons this morning. It's what's been on my heart this week, preached this morning. I was thinking about Sunday school and how that went. I must confess that as I cross the country, I'm in a different church every Sunday. If I can get out of it, I try to stay away from Sunday school. Lord, you ought to see the Sunday schools I get into. They'll pull out them little, the quarterlies, and they'll read, and then they'll grunt a little bit and say a word and read some more, and I'm about dead. Sometimes it'll even be a woman teaching the class. So I've almost come to the place I don't believe in. No, well, I won't go that far, but preachers accuse me of it. But now, if I could have Sunday school like we had it this morning every Sunday, I'd go every Sunday. You know you're having good Sunday school when everybody starts preaching all over the place, and I call it bootleg preaching and just having a good time in the Lord. And I wanted to say to Brother Ken, welcome to the world of evangelism. The further north, the worse it gets, so just expect it. It's just common up there. You're expected. But it has been wonderful, hasn't it? Boy, how good God has been to us this morning to visit with us. I want to begin by reading Genesis chapter number 49, verse 33. And then I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 21 and make a few remarks. Then we're going to go back, read some more. Now, you're not going to believe the title of my sermon this morning, but it's what it has been. I hadn't changed it. I done told you that. I'm preaching this morning on having church. Would you believe that? Amen. Having church. Now, I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm not just talking about attending church. And I'm surely not talking about playing church. There'll be a whole lot of that going on this morning. I got a preacher friend up in North Carolina that when he was just a little boy, 8, 9 years old, he loved to play church. His favorite thing to do. Lived with his grandmother, and when all of his cousins would come, he'd get them out and back, and he'd play church. He'd preach to them, then he'd take them down to the water hole and baptize them. Well, he said my grandmother thought that was sacrilegious, and he said every time I did it, she'd whip me. For baptizing them, for playing church and baptizing them boys or them people. And I thought, well, I wonder if God whipped us every time we played church, what kind of mess we'd be in. Wasting God's time on Sunday. Playing church. Now, I'm not talking about that. But I want us to look at a man that was having church at the very most important time of his life. Genesis 49, verse 33. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded. I thought of that song that was sung this morning, yielding to his tender embrace. Yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Now, it seems as though that Jacob is very tranquil. He's very peaceful. Doesn't seem like there's a struggle going on there, does it? He just pulls his feet up in the bed and says, and he's gone. I wonder how he could do that in the very most fearful time in most people's lives as they think about this matter of death. But yet he seems to be so calm. I realized why when I read Hebrews 11:21, when the scripture told me what he was doing when he was dying. It makes a whole lot of difference. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and... what was he doing? He's having church. He was having church at the most important part of his life. Fixing to check out of this old world. And he said, hold it just a minute, I'm going to have church one more time. Somebody said, why? Because, honey, on the other side, it's just a constant, continual having church. Jacob's sanctuary. He's not going to church. He's not just attending church. He's not playing church, but he's having church. You can be seated. Now I want to read to you in Genesis 28. As we look at this matter of having church, I know there are a lot of ideas about church going, a lot of different types of church, and a lot of different things going on when people go to church. But I want us to look in Jacob's life as to what having church is all about. And I want to emphasize the vital importance. I want you to realize by the time this service is over that it's an absolute necessity that you have church today. You better do more than just sing a few songs and listen to a sermon, honey. You're going to find out down the road that God brought you here to have church, because having church was going to help you out in the days ahead. And someone would ask the question, well, what is having church? Well, I just want to give you four things. It won't take long. I want you to notice with me, first of all, that in Jacob's life, as well as your life and my life, that having church involves a particular place. I'm glad when the Lord saved me, He gave me a place that I could go to, that I could call church, that was more than just a building and a facility, but it was a place where angels ascended and descended. It was a place where altars were built and God showed up. I'm glad in my life that having church initially started in a wondrous, wonderful place, and I never got over it, and I never have been able to accept a substitute. I've always wanted that place. You see, this didn't just happen when Jacob was dying. You don't just wait to the last day and start worshiping. You don't just have church when the doctor gives you the news that you're dying today. Honey, you better been having church a whole lot longer than that. Jacob's been having church for 77 years. He's no stranger to having church. That's why he can have it on his last day and his last breath. Started way over there in a place called Bethel. You know what that word means? House of God. Now let me read it to you. The Bible said he alighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay in a place to sleep. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, angels of God ascended and descended to it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a pretty good first day at church, ain't it? And behold, I am with thee, will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, bring thee again into the land, for I'll not leave thee until I've done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and set it up for a pillow, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. He said, I've been in church! He said, I've been in church! He said, I've seen angels ascending and descending. I've seen the face of God. I've heard the promises of God. I've built an altar. I know for the first time I've had church. Have you ever had church? You'll know it when you've had church. Woo! I'm glad we had church. Lord, if I didn't have no more than what most folks have, one old mountain preacher from West Virginia used to say, if I didn't have no more religion, what some folks got, I'd trade it off for an old hound dog. Then I'd borrow my neighbor's shotgun, shoot the hound, be done the whole matter. I'm not interested in attending church. I'm not interested in going to church. But I'm interested in a place where I can have church. Church is a place. There needs to be a Bethel in your life. A literal place like this, thank God, where you're pretty sure when you go, things are going to happen and God's going to show up. And if you don't have a place like you, you need to find a place like that. A lot of folks think that place ain't important. I had a preacher friend up in Ohio. He said a lady came in one day to his office and said that she needed some help financially. He said, I was about to help her, but I asked her a question too. I said, first of all, where do you go to church? And said she just threw her notice up there and scoffed and said, I have church myself at home. And so he tried to encourage her and tell her the importance of gathering together with God's people. And so she just said emphatically, she said, I don't need to go to church. I have church at home. He said, well, lady, why don't you go to your church and see if you can get some help? I said, well, I like that, don't you? Huh? When you need help, you ain't gonna get it out on the lake. You ain't gonna get it up in the mountains. You ain't gonna get it down at the beach, honey. You need to have a place where you know you can go and God will show up. A place! I'm glad for this place, aren't you? But now, it don't necessarily just involve this place. But I notice that Jacob ends up down in Egypt. And while he's down in Egypt, he can't get to Bethel. There are going to be times in your life and in my life because of sickness or age or something like that, you're not going to be able to make it to the place. You're not going to be able to go to the Bethel. But I believe in those times, wherever you're at, Bethel can come to you. And if it's only at this place, thank God you've come here and thank God you can worship here. But if this is the only place you can worship, you're not doing a whole lot of worshiping. I'm glad for the times driving down the road that church takes place. I'm glad for times in the house when church takes place. I'm glad I've had church in my study as I read the Word of God, meditating on it, and had to get up and run around the desk a little bit. I was about 19 year old. I was riding a little old Volkswagen down the interstate by myself, and I got to meditating on a verse, a passage of Scripture. Man, that thing swelled up in my heart, and I wanted to preach it, so I just started preaching it, just me and the Lord. And I'm there, I was slinging my hands, I was preaching and spitting all over the windshield. I was having church. I come to myself and I looked in front of me, and there's a tractor and trailer that had pulled over to the side, had his hand out the window waving me on. He had no idea what was happening, brother, but I was having church in that little Volkswagen. Doodlebug, you can have church in one of those. You can have church in the hospital. You can have church a lot of places if you've got a Bethel, if you've had a Bethel experience. Notice he says to he's down in Egypt and he's talking to his son Joseph. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, which was Bethel in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. Oh, I'm going to tell you, you might be able to take him out of Bethel, but you can't take Bethel out of him. It's just alive and it's real. I'm glad that this matter of having church is a place, but it also can be any place that you're at where you want to worship God and God shows up on your behalf. I'm talking about having church. Aren't you glad we had church this morning? Huh? I'm talking about this importance of having church in the life of Jacob. It began as a place 77 years before. But I want to emphasize, secondly, that this matter of having church has to be more than a place. It has to be a person, and the person has to show up because he's the one that makes church. And in our text, on both occasions, the Bible said, while he was at Bethel, the Lord appeared unto him. The person showed up. We can't have church if the Lord don't breathe on us. We can't have church if the Lord don't bless us. We can't have church without the Lord. He's the most important part of this service. He is the church that we have. As I cross the country, I've long since went with the thought in mind that I had to preach. I never go to church with the thought in mind I have to preach. I go to church with the thought in mind I'm looking for the Lord wherever He shows up. And I tell pastors all the time, they say, well, preacher, what about this thing, a pastor? And I said, just look for life. And wherever you find life, rest upon it. Wherever there's a heartbeat, wherever there's a breath, wherever God is moving, sometimes He might do it in a testimony. Sometimes He might do it in a prayer. Sometimes He might do it in a song. And sometimes He might do it in a sermon. But I don't care where He does it, as long as He does it. And He can do it any way He wants to do it. But when He does it, you'll know that you've had church. I was in a meeting just this past week up in Tennessee, but it must have been a better situation than yours. We worshiped all week. And on Sunday night, they asked this little girl, I'll never forget her name, it was Sadie. She was 6 years old, to come up and sing. Her older sister, about 20 or 21, was playing for her on the piano. And her song, the chorus of it was, Jesus, Jesus, He is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, precious Son of God. Rose of Sharon, and so on. But the three stanzas of it dealt with the life of Christ. Him coming as a baby, and then His ministry, and then His death and resurrection. But at the end of it, She always come to that chorus and that phrase, Jesus, Jesus, He is the Son of God. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Ken, the Holy Ghost has come over top of that little 6-year-old girl and radiated. And the only way I could explain it, and I told those folks that night when I got up, they called on me to preach. I said, you've already heard your sermon if you was able to hear it. And what happened in that little old corner, God brought another Mary into our presence and birthed Jesus afresh and anew. And gave forth the message. We left that place saying, oh, Jesus, Jesus, He is the Son of God. For whatever your need is, He is the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you, for about an hour and a half, we had church on that one song. And that little 6-year-old Mary that blessed our hearts. Ooh, I like it like that, don't you? When He shows up. He is a person. And church has to be Him coming into our midst. The best we can do is study our sermons and practice our songs and come to this building. But honey, we've got to wait on the Lord to show up. Because I say to you, to Jacob, this matter of having church involved the place. It involved the person. Can I say to you thirdly that this matter of having church involved a process? You see, you ain't going to have church like I have church, and I ain't going to have church just like you have church. Now, it may look like it on the outer if I may shout a little bit or weep a little bit and so on and testify a little bit, and you may do that. But it's a whole different world or a whole different avenue that's brought you to the place of worship than what brought me to the place of worship. Right. Why? Because my life is made up of different events and different circumstances that God has worked on than anybody else here. And that's what makes having church so special, in that the Lord can speak in so many different ways because He speaks through so many different experiences and so many different people that He's led so many different paths. And if you're going to get in a service that Jacob's going to worship in, and if he's going to have church, the Bible said in verse 21 of the book of Hebrews that he worshiped doing what? Leaning on a staff. Now I'm going to ask you something. Why did he have church leaning on a staff? Why didn't he sit down or bow down? I'm going to tell you, because many years ago, while having church, him and God had a wrestling match, and God broke him and touched his thigh, and ever since then, he's had to have church a little different than anybody else because of what he's come through and what he's faced. Oh, I'm glad you can have church your way. I'm glad you can have church as God has brought you. But honey, the thing that makes me special tonight in this service is nobody can have church like I have church, because nobody's been brought through the area in which I've been brought through. All the world church is God, when He saves you, He puts a jug on the inside. He fills it up with all your past, present, and future experiences and pours the Holy Ghost in on top of it. And then He'll come around, and He'll shake your jug. And when He shakes your jug, the aroma of those experiences and the blessing of the Holy Ghost begins to arise, and we all begin to enjoy the atmosphere of what God has done in your life. Having church out of the processes that God has wrought in my life. When Brother Ken gets up here and preaches the way he does, and somebody said, boy, I'll just tell you, nobody preaches like him. Of course they don't, because nobody's walked the road that he's walked. And he's preaching out of his jug. And I love it when God takes the cork out of my jug while I'm a-preaching. When He begins to shake the aroma of where He's brought me from, it's a flooding through my mind, and I'm a-worshipping Him while I'm preaching. I'm having church! You gotta understand how to appreciate that, because as Brother Ken talked about. There's a lot of these places you go to, they don't know nothing about having church. You just have to have it by yourself. And when it's like that, I just go ahead and have it by myself. I just cut the line off right there and just have church up here. And I just tell them, I said, folks, y'all don't look like you understand what I'm saying or what's going on in my heart. And I just go ahead and have church. Why? Because it can't happen. That's the way God saved me, the way God filled me, where He's brought me through. And old Jacob, I tell you, he may have to lean on a staff, but he knows how to have church. And that's why I love to be with God's people. Brother David, when you're up here leading this singing, I love to watch you have church. Brother Mike, I sat over there while you was weeping, and I love to watch you have church. Brother Ken gets up and explodes. I love to watch him have church. This family gets up here and sings, and I love to watch them have church. Because when they're having church, it makes me want to have church too. Wow! I'm talking about having church! God didn't waste those experiences on you. He didn't lead you that way for nothing, honey. He's getting you ready to worship and have church! And that's what's going to make it real when you stand up and talk about what God's brought you through. Oh, Jacob will say, I just tell you right now, thank God for my staff. I'm glad I can have church on my staff. I'm glad I can have church where there's been heartaches and there's been troubles and there's been scars and God's brought me through some things, but I can still lean over and have church. We're not having church this morning because we ain't been nowhere and been through nothing, honey. We've been there and done that, but God's brought it in our lives and mixed it up for Holy Ghost. Now we have church! Woo! I'm having church! I like to have church! I'm talking about church! Oh, thank God for my experiences! I can have church! Surprised that it bumfuggles the minds of folks. They don't understand it because the devil don't understand it. He'll stir up some trouble and cause some situations as he did in the life of Job and thinks he's got you where you want you, and then all of a sudden you'll end up over there having church. And he'll say, what have I done? He ain't never figured that out. You say, I've got them now, I've got them real miserable, I got this happening, that happened, that'll be it for them. And then lo and behold, on Sunday morning they'll get in there and they'll start having church! I just want to tell you what I've been through this week and tell you the Lord showed up and having church! I've had more church off my so-called bad situations and I have my God. Yeah. Oh, devil, just keep working. I'm going to have church again. Looks like I'm having church this week. Woo! Just tell folks, it looks like I've just had a bad week. My car broke down, had a flat tire, wife sick. Somebody said that's bad. I said, well, it seems like it, but it looks like I'm working up to a good church meeting. Jacob said, I didn't realize that the night he crippled me, that through that crippling, I was going to be able to have church 77 years worth. Not just a one-time occasion. He worshipped for 77 years off of crippling. Did I tell you Jacob's having church? It's a place, it's a person, it's a process! Whew. I tell you, I'm having a church. Had an old boy in the church that I last pastored there in the mountains of North Carolina. Gradually went blind. He's totally blind now. Has been for several years. Worked in a furniture plant, and for years he always did the same thing. He'd sand those tables down. He learned to feel them. He worked for years blind, and they changed the process and everything. He couldn't do it no more, so he had to go on disability. Hurt him so bad, he hated to do that. What a blessing Brother Jim Buchanan was. Boy, he knew how to have church. And we had church on him. I mean, he just led us right into church. Through his experience. It was, I'll never forget, one of the experiences of Christmas. I was celebrating Christmas that Sunday before Christmas. We'd put up a big star that was about the full length of the wall and had put some lights around it. Christmas play was going to have something to do with it. And I'll never forget that Sunday morning. I got up to just open up service, and Brother Jim, blind as he could be, he jumped up. And he said, "Preacher, I just got to say something." He said, "I'm about to bust within." He said, "I don't know if we got a star anywhere in this building this morning." And he didn't. He couldn't even see. He didn't know about it. And we had a big star. I'm talking about a star that reached to the top up there. He said, "I don't know if there's any kind of star, being Christmas time. A lot of times they'll put up a little star or something like that. But," he said, "this morning, I just want to tell you, I'm seeing a big star." He said, "I'm seeing the bright morning star." And we all went. And the world blew up. We had church off of his star because he was blind. I said, "Thank God for a blind man that can see a star." And can I say to you lastly, having church is a preparation. You see, you don't just need to mill around and play with church and just come and go and not be concerned whether God shows up or not. It's a very important thing when the doctor tells you you got cancer. When the house burns. When one of the young'uns have been in the car wreck. God is leading you into worship this morning because He's preparing you for what you're going to face tomorrow. And you better have had a church experience to get you through it. You can't wait until it happens and then go around wondering where God's at. Why ain't God? Honey, if you familiarize yourself with Him and you're used to worshiping and having church, when these things happen, honey, you'll be able to shoot to God and have church amidst the situation. He's fixing to draw his last breath. And he's not even troubled about it. Because he's having church. He worships. Leaning on a staff, scoots over the bed, pulls his shoes up, feet up, and said, "See you later." He's had church. David said, I believe it was in the Psalm, maybe around 74, he said, I didn't understand the wicked. I didn't know what they were doing. I was discouraged, about ready to give up. But he said, it wasn't until I went into the house of the Lord that I understood therein. He said, I got to have in church and I got the right perspective on this thing. You get to seeing things right if you can have church. How vital it is we be prepared for what we're going to have to face down the road. Because we've been having church. You see, you're not going to die unlike you live. And if you've lived in selfishness and greed and bitterness and jealousy, it ain't going to change when you get down to draw your last breath. That's what's going to be in you. It's what you've lived. I've watched it. I'm telling you, I've been in this thing for many years. I mean, 39 years. I've seen it. I've stood by the bedside of many that have died, that have went to church and attended church and all those other things. I've been there. And I've seen those people that have played around with it, not saw the necessity of it, and couldn't see the sense of anybody else having church. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you don't appreciate me having church, then you can just like it or love it. Because you're not going to face what I'm going to face tomorrow or down the road. I'm going to need my church. You won't be there with me when the doctor gives the news. You won't be there with me when the act. You won't be there when I see those. You won't be there, but honey, God will. And I want to know Him when He shows up because I've already had church. And I want to be able to have a little church when it happens. Don't you worry about what everybody else has got to say about what you're having. Oh, there's a scores of people in churches around here making fun, no doubt, of this church. And I to just get there. And ain't nothing. It's always just a big old commotion. Well, honey, what you may call a commotion may be some soul having church. It's a preparation. He's fixing to die. He's going to a land where they never cease having church. And while he was a dying, brother, he's having church. Said he's worshiping, having church. Now let me give you, my daughter works as a nurse at a rest home in Burnsville, North Carolina. And here, before I even thought of this message, she said to me several months ago, she said, Daddy, let me tell you about this elderly gentleman in the rest home over there. She said, I'm going to tell you, he just has a radiation about him. I've just never been around a person that blessed me anymore. She said, as a matter of fact, all the nurses like to wait in on his hall just to wait on him. Said he's so gracious and so kind and so full of God. He's just always so thankful for everything that people does and always hugging the neck, telling them about the Lord. But she said, Daddy, all he wants to talk about, even though when he's talking to you, he's talking about, it won't be long. You won't have to do this for me anymore, honey. I'm fixing to go home. And so he got that smile on his face when he talked about going home. And she said, a little while back, he got sick. And they had to, with the emergency squad, they had to come and get him and take him to the hospital. And she said, was all around there and said, while they was wheeling him out, said he has a smile and said, well, looks like this is it. I won't be back. I won't be back. And he was so happy as they were wheeling him out. Well, he stayed in the hospital about a week and they brought him back. She said, I've never seen him with a down countenance, but he come in kind of down. He said to everybody, well, I don't know why the Lord didn't take me. I thought that was it. I thought I was a good one. And then said he livened up and began to be his old self and said it wasn't just a week or two that he got down again. His family knew he was a dying. He knew he was a dying. He stayed aware up to just about his last breath. And said he'd reach out and hug his youngest and say, honey, this is it. I'm going. I'm a leaving. Tears are flowing. And said the family's gathered around the bed and said, there's all praising God. And his daughters are saying to him, yeah, daddy, this is it. You get to go. You get to go, daddy. He said, oh, I'm a going. And he drew his last breath. Left this whole world. You say, well, what was he doing? He's doing what he'd been doing all along. He's having church. Reckon what he did when he got where they really had church. Huh? Had a preacher just called me. Pastor's over here. Outside of Atlanta just this week. Brother Berman Kate Jr., precious man of God. He said, I'm going to tell you about my man in my church. Said he was closest friend I ever had. Yes. Said I was in the hospital and he was dying of cancer. Said it came down to the last moment. All of his family's in there and said he looked up and he said, preacher, you see him? You see him? He said, no one. Oh, he said, this room's filled with angels. His wife said to him, honey, can you see Jesus? He said, yeah, I see him. She said, what's he look like? He said, I can't tell you. And finally he said, preacher, roll me over. Roll me over. He said, why? He said, I'm a falling into the hands of Jesus. Roll me over. He said, I've never seen such a witness in my life of a man leaving this old world and all he was doing was having church. You know what got him prepared for that? Having church. He had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if he had a chance, he had it out on the job, in the car, everywhere. He just had church. Jacob said, I'm fixing to check out, boys, but I think I got time for one more church experience. I'm going to have church. I know two preachers that left out of this old world while they're preaching. And they said, if I leave, I'd love to leave a preacher. Well, that wouldn't be too bad, wouldn't it? Preach your way right into heaven. Jesus is Lord! Hmm. Boy, he is Lord, ain't he? I'm going to tell you, children, don't be ashamed of what you got. Don't let nobody steal it from you. Thank God for your experiences. That give you opportunity to have church. Some folks have had church here this morning. I wonder about you. I'm glad when God saved me, He didn't just leave me out there. He said, I'm going to let you have church. Having church.